Thank you very much, Brother Billy. Turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to St. Mark. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. A very familiar portion of Scripture. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. And commencing to read at verse 34. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I'm sure the Lord would bless to our hearts the public reading of his precious word. I suppose during the period of the life of Christ upon the earth, there were those attitudes and those interests that caused him to be concerned about the thing that people thought about the most. The other day in America, they took a census as to what people think about the most. They discovered that people think a lot about death. But one of the things that people think about the most is the easement of life. This is the great concern on the minds and hearts of a lot of people. And I believe it was somewhat true during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, hence this particular portion of Scripture. Because the Lord Jesus was seeking to show men and women, as he spoke to them, that the greatest thing in life is to follow Christ, is to be committed to God, is to turn their lives over to the only one who can give reason for living. Anything else, any other purpose in life would be almost a total waste of a person's time and existence. And so the Lord Jesus sought to challenge people to think more seriously about things that really matter. Things of eternity are things that really matter. And among those things of eternity is the soul. And this is why the Lord Jesus, we believe, said as he looked to that vast group of people, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, which is temporary, which is transitory, and lose his own soul, which is eternal, which is eternally permanent? What shall it profit? And of course, the conclusion is that he shall not profit. He shall lose. Now, we're living in an age when people are concerned a lot about material things. You cannot move very far without being impressed upon with this. The other day at one of the local government schools, they had some persons going around trying to find out and at the same time encourage people, children, to become involved in constructive things of life. And so a youngster was, or a class was asked, what did they think about the most, and what would they like to achieve in this life? And I understand in one class, at least 5 persons said they would like to be drug dealers. Now, I suppose the reason why they wanted to be drug dealers is because the drug dealer usually seems to have a lot of gold around his neck, drives the latest car, and has a big house. But they don't notice, of course, the big walls around his yard. See? Most of them have to put big walls around the yard and have a lot of Doberman pinchers and German shepherds to keep people out. See? They don't see that, but I suppose their conclusion was because of the material things of life, the success or the wealth that this kind of association, this kind of involvement brings. And I believe there were those kind of people in Jesus' day. Perhaps drugs was not prominent like they are today, but there were other things, and there are people who think of other things, not just drugs, but other material things as the real reason for being alive. Now the Lord Jesus speaks to such persons and says, "What will you profit if it was possible to gain the whole world?" Now, to gain the whole world means to have all the power in the world. To gain the whole world means to have all the money, all the buildings, and everybody has to come to you. And so to own everything in the world, to gain the entire world, is to own everything and everybody, to be the kingpin in the world. If that was possible, you and I know that's not possible. But if it were possible, Jesus is saying, if it were possible for a person to gain the whole world and lose his soul, what has he achieved? Nothing. And because, you see, as Jesus spoke, he was impressing upon those people the fact of life's greatest possession. Life's greatest possession is a man's soul. Everything else, my friends, is transitory, but his greatest possession is his soul. And remember, it is his own soul. His own soul. Maybe I told you about the man who dressed like a salesman and went around asking people if they would sell their soul to the devil for $10. 1 in every 7 persons, and this was done in the United States. You know, the United States is a place, as a great country, but it is an amazing country too. The people in many respects are amazing. So they interviewed 127 people, and 1 out of every 7 said they would sell their soul to the devil. And so he had this form, this sales slip made up, and all who would sell their soul to the devil, he would give them $10, and they would have to sign it over to the devil. One man said, well, at least, or one woman said, at least I'll go to hell with the increase of a 6-pack of beer. A 6-pack carton of beer. Another man said, well, at least I'll go to hell $10 richer. Another man said, well, I'll sell you my soul. I'll sell you my wife's soul. I'll sell you my daughter's soul, and I'll give you my mother-in-law's soul free. This is how he thought about his soul. His own soul. And that same man went around, and he saw a drunk. He was in the gutter. When I read this, it really touched my soul. He tugged at the man, and the man rolled over, and in his drunken stupor, and he said, "Sir, would you sell your soul to the devil for $10? And the man looked up and says, "What you say? Would you sell your soul to the devil for $10? And the man said, "Look at me. Look at me. I have lost my family, I have lost my job, I have lost my health, and the only thing I have is my soul. That's all I have, my soul. And you're asking me to sell it to the devil for $10, sir. I can't, because that's all I have. Go away, sir. Go away. I can't sell my soul to the devil for $10. You see, Jesus said to gain the world and lose your own soul. It's personal. It's personal. It's not somebody else's soul. You see, when you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, when you hide behind, as we often say, some hypocrite, as we use various excuses, you must remember, my friend, it is your own soul that's at stake. Not the hypocrite's soul. Not the person who claims to be saved and is not living as he should. No, it's not his soul at stake. It's your soul at stake. It's your own soul. Jesus said, and lose your own soul. It's life's greatest possession. And it is the only thing you carry beyond the grave. The only thing. It's the only thing you take into eternity. Your own soul. It is personal. And remember now, it is immortal. It's eternal. You know, it's really amazing when you look at a little baby just born. Just a matter of hours old. You look at that little baby and you are impressed upon with the fact that that baby has a soul that will live longer than the earth. That baby has a soul that shall never die. It shall live for eternity. And that's the only thing that will live for eternity. The present soul. Everything else will be destroyed. That's what the Bible says. It is an immortal soul. It's eternal. And you see, it goes without saying then that that soul, since it is eternal, has a destiny to which it is heading. Now the Bible tells us that in eternity there are only two destinations. There is the destiny, the destination where those who know not Christ shall dwell. And there is the destination for those who know Christ as Savior shall dwell. Those are the only two places. Now I know some religions have come up with a number of places. Some have said there is a place called limbo. Somewhere out there, you don't see the face of God, neither do you suffer. You go to limbo. Now they teach that those persons who never get baptized before they die go to limbo. Then those persons, there are those persons who go to purgatory, wherever that is. Must have been one of these islands in the Bahamas, I don't know. But this is what they say. But you see, when we come to the Bible says there are only two places. There is hell and there is heaven. And my friends, listen, our Lord Jesus Christ is concerned about the destiny of a man's soul. That's why we could sing, Love Found a Way. You see, God knew that man's soul was heading for eternity. It was heading for eternity where it would either spend that eon in a place of the eternal damned or in heaven. And so our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world in order to provide a way that the soul of man might end up in heaven rather than hell, because God is concerned about the soul. It is immortal. But I'm sure you have concluded, like I have in reading these verses, the fact that Jesus is saying that the soul is priceless. The soul is priceless. There is no price tag you could put on the soul. Yet some people do, you know. It's amazing how cheaply some people sell their souls. I have spoken with a lot of people in my short ministry, and it breaks your heart when you think of them and the things they barter for their souls. It's amazing. Some sell it very cheaply, but as far as God is concerned, the soul is priceless, and it's priceless because it bears the image of deity. That makes the soul priceless. Priceless. The Bible says, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. The soul bears the image of deity. And one of the aspects of the image of deity is eternity. God is God because He is eternal. And the soul, my friends, has that aspect of the image of God stamped upon it. It's eternity. It's priceless because it bears the image of deity. It is a masterpiece of His workmanship. The psalmist, as he contemplated his body, his personality, his being, he said, we are wonderfully and fearfully made, or fearfully and wonderfully made. And so it is, friends. It is the masterpiece of God's creation. You remember when God created the heavens and the earth, He said it was good. But when He created man, when man became a living soul, God said it was very good. You see, my friend, it is priceless because it bears the image of deity. It's the masterpiece of God's workmanship, and it values more than the world. It values more than the world. Is there any wonder why our Lord Jesus Christ would leave the ivory palaces above and come into this sin-benighted scene in order, my friends, to redeem the soul? Is there any wonder why He would touch lives and say to men and women, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, and dispatch them around the world with the gospel of the saving grace of God? Is there any wonder? It's because the soul values more than the world. It's a valuable soul, but it's precious. It's a precious soul. The Bible says it is not within man to redeem his brother. Psalm 49 verses 7 and 8, because his soul is precious. Oh, my friends, we could work to purchase precious metal or other things, but when it comes to the soul, it is not within man to redeem his brother. And God says the reason being, his soul is precious. But when we come, my friends, to the provisions of Christ, Peter says, Jesus Christ shed his precious blood that he might redeem us, that he might save us. For we've not been redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the only thing that can save a precious soul is the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing. No matter what we accumulate, no matter what we try, the only thing that could redeem the soul and deliver it, my friends, from Satan's thraldom and bring it out of the gutter of sin, as we've been seeing, my friends, to take it out of the pit of darkness and put it in the kingdom of light, is the precious blood of Christ. Nothing else. Oh, my friends, listen. The soul is precious. The soul is precious. Therefore, Christ came to seek it. The Bible says He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And He gives us some parables to describe His seeking and searching for the souls of men. He likens men to a lost sheep. And he says, the shepherd goes after the sheep until he finds it. He mentions it, he refers to it as a coin lost in the house, and the house is turned upside down. It is swept clean in order to find the coin. He likens it to a lost son who goes into the far country and dies in the process. And the father, when he comes back, says, "This is my son that was dead and is alive." Listen, the son came to seek the sheep, the soul. That's what Calvary is all about. Calvary is what it is tonight because of Jesus coming to seek the soul. Matter of fact, there would be no Calvary if a soul was not weighed in the balance and found wanting, heading for eternity without Christ. There'd be no Calvary. Because, my friends, if there was not such a thing as perishing, Jesus would not have come to die. Love crucified, that's it. Love perishing on the cross, that's it. Christ dying, love being personified in that song, Christ being crucified, why? For the souls of men. Dying for our sins, being raised for our justification, yes. He came to seek the soul. Christ died to save the soul. And Christ lives to keep the soul, someone has said. The last act of the Lord Jesus Christ in this life before his death was to win a soul. You remember? Jesus stopped dying long enough, I like to think, because there was a man dying on the other side from him without a hope to cheer the tomb. He was heading for eternity, a real place, and the man now realizes that eternity was real. He realized that there is life after death. Perhaps before he would be saved, you know, when you're dead, you're done. But now he's on the cross and he's come to realize without the shadow of a doubt that there is life beyond this period. There is life beyond death. And so he cried out to Jesus, "Lord, remember me." And the Lord Jesus stops dying long enough to say, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Let me tell you, friends, that's something to die with. That's the greatest message to ever die with, to know that Jesus himself has said, "Today." Now, you don't mind dying if something like that comes through your ears, do you? Frances Abigail said, as the devil was around her bed, tempting her, trying to create doubt in her mind, she asked her friend to turn to a passage in Isaiah and to read it. In that verse were the words called, kept, or called, saved, kept. And Frances Abigail, as she listened to those words, she says, "Thank you. I could die with that." And she slipped off into eternity. Called by God, saved by his grace, and kept for eternity. "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The last act of Jesus before his death was to save a soul. And he still is out in the saving business, out to save souls. His last prayer, my friends, was for the forgiveness of a soul. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," as he pled into the Father's face. That these people who were nailing him to the cross and were responsible for him being there, from a human point of view, he prays for their forgiveness. His last prayer, his last act, my friends, was to save a soul. His last prayer was for the forgiveness of a soul. And his last command was to win a soul. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." That men might be saved, that's the purpose. His last command, why? Because the soul is precious. It's a precious soul. Ah, my friends, it's a precious soul, and it's redeemed only by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God. Thank God for all those who have come and received the Lord Jesus Christ. In the early part of the year when we were in the Faroe Islands preaching the gospel, the night as we gave the invitation, we paused for about a moment. A man
an elderly man and a young girl came walking down the aisle. The girl was 13. I understand afterwards that she was so concerned she tugged on the tail of the old man's coat, her grandfather he was. Says, "Grandpa, will you go with me? I want to be saved. I want to know that my soul is sheltered in Jesus. Will you go with me, grandfather?" He says, "Yes, my dear, I'll go with you." And they came walking down the aisle. It wasn't long before mommy came, and then another brother came. Listen, there are those who have responded to God's invitation because they realize that the soul is precious and needs to be saved. Do you realize that? Do you realize that tonight, my friends, are you here and your soul is not saved? You are not saved. You see, your soul is you. When you leave this body, your body stays this side. And you, my friends, go out into eternity. The Bible says God formed a man out of the dust of the earth and he breathed into his nostrils and man became a living soul. You see, man, that breath of God, placed life into that body and that became man himself. And when a person dies, they leave the body and they go out to be with God. Be in eternity. And so you, my friend, the soul is another expression of yourself. From the scriptural point of view, it's a precious soul. Life's greatest possession, very quickly, note with me, life's greatest gamble. Putting up one's soul for the world. I think it was Aaron Burr who arose to some prominence in the political arena. When he was very young, it made some very serious decisions in life. He had decided, I think he was 60 years of age when he got up in a meeting with some political comrades, and he told them that he had made a conscious decision some years before that the last thing he would ever think about was his soul. That as far as he was concerned, he lived only for time, and that he would give no time for things that are spiritual or religious. He had no time for it. At the age of 85, his young daughter, granddaughter, came home saying to him that she had become a Christian. He's not able now to be active in politics. He's not able to do the things he wanted to do. And after he sat there and listened to his granddaughter telling of the blessing of getting saved, the joy of sins forgiven, tears commenced to trickle down his cheek. He called it to himself and embraced it and said, "My dear, when I was around your age, I had the same opportunity. I had the same challenge. I was made to realize that the greatest thing in life was to get right with God. But I made a conscious decision that I'll never have anything to do with my soul, with salvation, because I had other plans in life, I had other aspirations, and I made a decision not to have anything to do with it. I'm 85 years of age, and you know, from that time, I have never really had another inclination towards anything that is spiritual. 85 years of age. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the world?" And a lot of people are putting their souls up against the world. They are gambling. They're gambling their souls away. Life's greatest gamble. And you see, they're gambling it for a world that is uncertain. I believe a lot of people are realizing now that the world in which we live is indeed uncertain. It's indeed, my friends, transient, and a lot of people, I believe they're realizing now more than ever
that you know life is really a miserable existence outside of Jesus Christ. Even here in the Bahamas, the more some people get, the worse they are, and the more miserable and restless they are. And my friends, it's because the things of this world are uncertain. Health or wealth is uncertain. Health is uncertain. Oh, my friends, just this week I've heard of so many persons. I called a young man in the States just the other day, and a couple of nights ago. His dear wife has a disease that the doctor doesn't give a very, very long to live. He said, it came on so sudden. He said, I just couldn't understand it. It's beyond me. He says, I mean, there's certain things you can understand, you can face, but this thing has completely floored me. One day everything seems to be all right, and the next day something happens. You go to the doctor. He says, listen, you have a disease that you don't have very long to live. Health. I was saying to my wife, I said, you know, the important thing in this life is to give this body to the Lord and use it for the glory of God. This body, friend, heard a lady say to me some time ago, brother, it ain't no good. That's true. And let me tell you, health is uncertain. But let me tell you, the only thing that's certain is eternal life in Jesus Christ. I told someone one time, I said, the only thing you can go to bed with and wake up with is eternal life. Everything else you can go to bed and wake up is gone. Not so with eternal life. The salvation of the soul. Health is uncertain. Life is uncertain. James says, it's like a vapor. It appears for a while and then vanishes away. Fame is uncertain. So Saladin had his warrior, his aide, to run through the streets and put on the top of the point of his spear and run through the streets and shout, look, 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 all that Saladin will take with him, all that he can lay claim to, his shroud. And he was known as one of the greatest warriors in his day. Yet, my friends, all he could count on as far as he was concerned was a shroud. Life was ebbing out real rapidly. The world is uncertain. The world is unsatisfying. The world is dissolving. Peter says, seeing that all these things are being dissolved, not shall be dissolved, but are being dissolved. You see, this world is in the process of decay, but very quickly. Life's greatest possession, life's greatest gamble, life's greatest loss, and lose his own soul. Life's greatest loss. My friends, when you lose your soul, it is an entire loss. It's the death of deaths when you lose your own soul. It's unparalleled in its amount through all eternity, my friend, throughout the universe. Listen, when you lose your soul, it is an entire loss. You lose everything. You lose everything. And then it is the loss without compensation. They say when London burned with fire, 13,000 dwellings were destroyed. 90 churches. Property damage valued £7.5 million. But it resulted in a new London. Resulted in a new London. But not so when you lose your soul. When you lose your soul, you lose everything. No compensation. Oh, my friends. It's a loss without compensation. It is a loss. It is an irreparable loss. It's an eternal loss.
Millions, millions of money for an inch of time was the cry of Elizabeth, one of the queens of England. She was known as an ambitious queen. But on her dying bed, she cried, millions of money for an inch of time. She was unhappy as she reclined upon her couch with 10,000 dresses in her wardrobe. 10,000 dresses in her wardrobe, and some thousands of shoes. Yet as she lay dying, she was unhappy and lost, crying, millions of money for an inch of time. These were her last words as she screamed and screamed and screamed. My friends, it was an eternal loss. And a person may lose their soul by forgetting God. Luke chapter 12. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. You see, he forgot God. And the soul that forgets God, the person who forgets God loses their soul. That's how you lose yourself, by forgetting God, by sinning against God. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, by rejecting God for material gain. This is what Jesus is talking about. By rejecting the Lord Jesus for material gain, and by the fear of men. Verse 38 of the passage we have read with you, Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You see, Jesus was challenging those people. One of the things that they were allowing to keep them from following Jesus Christ was the fear of men. And perhaps a lot of people in our world today, in the Bahamas, maybe some of you here in this meeting, you are not saved tonight because you are afraid of what people are going to say. And they will say. They will say a lot. But let them talk. Let them say what they like. Get your soul right with God. Jesus says one way of losing your soul is by the fear of men. It's by the fear of men. But tonight, my friend, you don't have to lose your soul. You don't have to die without the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to do it. You don't have to go out into eternity without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Without hope in your heart, you don't have to do it because, as we've mentioned earlier, the Lord Jesus Christ came and died to save the soul. He shed his blood that he might pay the awful price for the salvation of your soul. Because, you see, the salvation of your soul to him is precious. I wonder if the salvation of your soul is precious to you. I wonder. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Shall we pray? O Holy Spirit, thou knowest the hearts of all present in our meeting tonight. Matter of fact, we believe they are here because you have drawn them here. And although they might not have been aware of this unseen power and influence drawing them to hear this message, their being here is of you. And it is because
your greatest interest is that their soul, yea, their life, might be saved. We pray that as they have heard the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died for the salvation of their souls, shed his blood, received divine judgment, that they might escape the awful suffering and judgment of eternity. Oh, we pray that they might realize more than they've ever realized before the value of their soul and the importance of getting their soul right with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to them, we pray. Draw them to yourself. Make them aware that even tonight they can know the joy of sins forgiven. They can know the assurance of their souls being saved forever. Oh, help them to realize it and cause them to trust Christ before it is forever too late. We pray in Jesus' name.